In the world of Bava Kama, it's worthwhile to know the first Mishnah starts off, I'll tell you briefly, the first Mishnah starts off there, Arba Avos Zikin Hei, which is a machlok, is Rav and Shmuel, exactly how to break them down. What they mean, Shur, Bor, Mava, and Hever, exactly how to break them apart. Basically, there are different types of Nezikin. There's what's called Bor, which means if I dig a hole in a Rosh Hasharabi, and your animal walks inside or steps inside, some chayav one type of Nezikin, chayav pay for Bor. And let's say my animal breaks into your house and eats your food, that's called Shein Hamazik. You know, if let's say my animal walks all over your kalim, it's called Regel. And each of the different things have different animal gores, so it's called Keren. Let's say I light a fire, my fire gets out of control and burns down your house, so that's called Nish. Each of the different Mazikim have different halachas. So, for example, if it's Keren, if it does Negicha, you know, so if it's Menasul Hazik or Mishun or however you want to define Karen, you only pay Chatzi Nezik for the first, you know, until the third time, for the first, you know, at the beginning. However, if it's Bor, you pay Nezik Shalim right away. Bor has another Petur. Bor doesn't pay for Kalim. And Shane the regular Pater Rosh Hasharab. So it's important to know each type of magic what it is. I wanted to speak today about other Hamadik. Take a look at the Mishnah on Dav Chav, Vav, and Aleph. At the end of the second parak, the Mishnah has a fascinating statement about Adam HaMazik. The Mishnah says as follows, Adam Mord Liola Bein Shogeg Bein Nezid Bein Er Bein Yashen, the way the Gemara in Sanhedrin has the gears is Bein Onus Bein Ratzon, and therefore the halach is there are no exceptions, you're Mord Liola, you always pay a full price. Certainly the gears of, you know, Shogeg and Mezid, even stronger, the gears of Sanhedrin of Onus Bein Ratzon sounds like under all circumstances, without exception, no matter what, Adam HaMazik is always Chayim. And therefore, it's almost shocking when you read the next Mishnah. Literally, the beginning of the third parak, the Mishnah reads as follows. HaMeniach es HaKad Rishus HaRab. And if, let's say, a Baal HaKad, Kad is like a jug or whatever, the Baal HaKad leaves his Kad in Rishus HaRab, which is considered a Bor HaMazik, it's an inanimate, stagnant object, doesn't move. Not a physical bor, but it's halachically a bor. It's hold up bor. Uba achar v'niskalba, and a guy walks over and he, you know, trips on it or stumbles into it or whatever it is. Vishavra, and he breaks down the bor. The din is pater. V'imhuzakba, however, if he gets damaged by it, v'al hachav is chayiv v'niska. So you have two situations. The other mazik trips into the bor and breaks it, and he gets damaged. Who's chayev what? So the Mishnah says the Baal Habur is chayev while the Adam HaMazik is Pater. It's a fascinating question to think about why the Baal HaChavis is chayev over here. I guess he left the Bor Rosh Hasharabim, etc., etc. But what's more interesting to me right now is why is the Adam HaMazik Pater? Didn't we just read on the previous Mishnah that what? Adam Mord Liolam Bein Er Bein Yashen Bein Ones Bein Mezin. Isn't it true that every single case of Adam HaMazik in the world should be Chayiv? Didn't the Mishnah on Chav Vav just say Adam HaMazik is always Chayiv? How could the Mishnah on Chav Zayin say, well, there's a certain case where Adam HaMazik is Pater? So the Gemara on Daf Chav Zayin Mabez, the first Gemara talks about why we switch from the Lashon of Kad to Chavis. The Mishnah on Chav Zayin, you know what the Gemara from the Shuffle there, look at this. Baba Kama, if you want to more about you. The Gemara on Chav Zayin has the following analysis. It doesn't really deal with our topic, but, you know, directly, but it deals with a similar topic. Topic of Zayin Beis. Ubachar v'nisko ba v'shavra patu. The other mazik walks over, kicks it over, accidentally slips into whatever the case is, he's patu. On my patu, why is he patu? He bar le liyune mezo. He should look and see where he's going, should be more careful. Amri debe rav, nishmei de rav, they answer in the name of Rav. The Mimali Rishus HaRabim Kula Chavios. So what's the case? They make it a Kimta. The Akimta is that the Rishus HaRabim, the thoroughfare is completely full with barrels. There's no way of getting from one side to the other without kicking over barrels. And therefore, that's the reason why the other Mazik is puzzled. Shmuel Amar Ba'afei Lashanu. Shmuel says it's dark outside. Rav Yochanan Amar Karen Zavis. And Rav Yochanan says it's situation where it's like immediately around the corner, you just make a quick turn, and as you make the turn, there's a barrel there, and it surprises you, you didn't see it coming, you kick it over, you knock it over, the barrel breaks, and you're putter in such a case. Now the truth is, the Gemara is dealing with a different problem, which is, wait up, the guy can, you know, he kick over a barrel, it's like you're totally responsible. And the Gemara says, comes up a case for why you're less responsible. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't deal with our question, which is this Adam Hamazik or not? In other words, are you chayav or onus? Are you patur for onus? What's the story? Before I get back to our topic, I'm going to make two small comments on the Gemara, and they're both peripheral comments. Neither one is really our topic right now. However, I do think that if you're, in terms of picking up Derech Halima, learning how to read, learning how to think, learning how to learn, and all these kind of things that we're trying our best to develop, two small comments have to be made. Number one is, and this is a much more broader, larger topic, which I don't plan on discussing now, but if you guys remind me, I'll discuss at some point in time. It's a large topic in general. What is up with the Kimta? The Kimta is, the Mishnah says, you can't go, you smoke something to a barrel. You might say, yeah, it's talking about at nighttime around the corner, it's talking about Mamali Rishas Rab, the whole Rishas Rab is Mamali Chavios, they're packed. The obvious question on every single Kimta is what? Why didn't the Mishnah just tell me that was the case? I'm sure you must have thought of this. Every person I know thought of this question, and there's always two major responses. Number one is the Frum response, which is, the Gemara apparently knew a lot of deep things that we don't know. The non-Frum response is, the Gemara doesn't know anything. It totally misunderstood the Mishnah. But the common denominator between both responses, no one actually spent the time to think about where the Gemara was coming from. If anyone's interested, at some point in time, I'll share with you my theories about Akimtas in general, specifically this one if you want. It's a fascinating Akimta. You remind me at the end of the show, I'll try and give you a little bit of insight about how Akimtas work. I think it's a very nice Mahalakim in general, specifically here. Additionally, there's a small little point over here, which is all of the different Akimtas that the Gemara makes, Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan, and Rav, who believes it's Rosh Hashanah Rav, full of barrels, right? The whole thoroughfare is jam-packed from, I guess from building to building, it's completely full with barrels. Funny, Akimta. Shmuel's Akimta is at night. Rav Yochanan's Akimta is around the corner. Are they all just giving different examples, or is there actually a machlokas over here? Meaning, are these three different shitas that all agree, and they're just, stop, in Rav Yeshiva they taught this, and Shmuel's Yeshiva taught that, and Rav Yochanan, but essentially they're all the same. They're all cases where you have a good reason to slip into the barrel, but there's no deeper machlokas over here. Alternatively, one can argue that, no, there is a machlokas over here. There's a machlokas between Rav versus Shmuel versus Rav Yochanan. And yeah. And what's it called? And at the end of the day, you know, is there a machlokas or not? It's not so clear from the Gemara alone. Intuitively, like it says, machlokas, because there's Rishit. You can think about it. What's the difference? The truth is, machlokas is shown. Whether there's machlokas, not mistaken, it's machlokas with the Beit Hanan versus Hamidi HaRashva. But leaving that point aside right now, let's get into our point, the Sira. So, are you with me? Is there such a case as onus over here or not? On one hand, it sounds like cases of onus. On the other hand, the Mishnah says onus is kind of to how you deal with the Gemara that comes out and say, indicating the onus of other. So methodologically, if you ever have a stira and you want to make a chiluk, there are two types of chilukim that you can make. This is a very kind of methodological point for those of us who run the stiras, actually those of us who learn. There are two types of chilukim. You can make a chiluk kamti or a chiluk echuti. It works for a quantitative chiluk versus the quality of chiluk. Maybe one can answer, and then it is shown in the group, that the difference between these two surahs is just the quantitative chiluk. There's a difference between, let's say, maybe onus versus onus gamur. If it's a small onus, well then you'd be dying because it's a small onus. However, if it's mamish, a huge onus, you had no idea, it's totally impossible, you didn't see it coming at any level, well, then you'd be puzzled. And there are many Rishonim who take this approach. This approach is suggested by many Rishonim. Right on the page, Tosfos makes this, and Tosfos needs to accept this sheet right away. Tosfos doesn't only fit as a chiluk between onus and onus gomer, but Tosfos goes down the limit, takes it one step further. Very surprising sheet, actually. Tosfo says that the chiluk is what is ke'en ameida and what is ke'en gedeva. In other words, onus would be ka'ein, I guess, ka'ein aveda, ka'ein aveda, and this is ka'ein gineva, meaning how irresponsible do you have to be? How much of a shock, how much onus do you have to be? The truth is, ka'ein, and the answer is, ka'ein gineva and worse. If it's worse than ka'ein gineva, if it's the level that someone can have stolen it from you, well then you're totally ba'onus. The truth is, not only does he say that onus gomer, but he has a very liberal definition of onus gomer. In other words, ka'ein gineva is a very liberal definition of onus gomer. In other words, if I would leave my pen right here and walk away in 2 seconds, you would take it, that's considered onus gomer. I have no idea how to wash my pen because that's ka'ein gineva. It's actually very surprising, the second assumption Tosfos makes, and we'll return to it in a few minutes. However, the primary chiluk is what I want to focus on now. Alternatively, what can you make a difference? What other type of chiluk can you make? A more fundamental chiluk, a more qualitative chiluk. Don't tell me more and less, but explain somehow why the case on Daf Chav Zayin is fundamentally different from the case on Daf Chav Vav. Before I do that, I'll share with you one raya from which brings me the sheet, and we'll use the raya to explain the other sheet, which is Shitas HaRamban. Tosh brings the raya, which is if I lay down and go to sleep and surely walks over, I see a bad, and I lay down and go sleep next to the bad. And in my sleeping, I now feel the Yerushalmi, in the case of Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi says, if I went to sleep next to a bad, that's my own fault, I'm other than that. However, if I lay down to go to sleep, and later on, Surely comes over and puts his vaz next to me, once I'm already sleeping, because says, that's considered onus gomer, that's onus ka'ein gineva, that's a big onus, there's no way I'm chayev on that. And he proves the chiluk between onus and onus gomer. You see that in the case, how could I have known Surely was going to come put down the bottle next to me, the vaz next to me, I didn't see it coming, I had no idea, I was totally taken by surprise. Alternatively, one may argue, that the chiluk is not between onus and onus gomer, but rather a different chiluk. How could you make a more fundamental chiluk between, let's just say, the case in the Yerushalmi where Srili puts down the vase, or vase, next to me, where I'd be potter? Similarly, the case of HaMinyach HaSakad Rosh HaRabim, where I kick it over and I am potter as well, versus other cases of onus. What is similar about those two cases which may potentially lead to a difference? For a different chiluk. So the Ramban suggests as follows. The Ramban suggests, in these cases, this is the Ramban found in the text of Messiah and not today's, I believe. The Ramban suggests, opposed to Tosfos, which is right over here in Daf Karmayim, this is the Ramban of Messiah. The Ramban of Messiah suggests that in the case where Srili came over and put the vase next to me, it's not that I'm onus gomer, but rather what? He's the Poshaya. The Ramban called it the Mweni Yuchayim. When you are the only guy around there, when you're the clear and independent person out there. However, when there's what's called the Shias Ha Niza, well then I'm totally Pacha because it's the Nizak's own Shia. In other words, the standard is when a Mamazin, Li, Shum, the Shias, well then certainly I'm chayav. However, what? If it's Shias HaNizak, surely shouldn't have put his vase next to a sleeping man. You should not have left your barrel in the middle of a public thoroughfare in the middle of the night. Someone's going to kick it over. You should not have put your jug, you know, right next to the corner so the person won't fight to get right over without even noticing. That essentially is the Shikas HaRamban. Just a quick knock-in before we get to what's behind this map. Well, okay. If I'm walking in the street, lightning strikes behind me and thrusts me forward into the air and I knock over a Kivan, he breaks his leg. Would I be chayav or not? Would you call that Adam Hamas? How would you analyze that child? According to the Ramban, you didn't do anything. There's no Shias HaNizak, I have to be chayav. However, according to Tosfos, this has got to be onus gomer. I'm certainly chayav. And that's the nature, not the meaning. It comes up, by the way, very, very, very often.
that let's say I'm, you know, I don't know, all sorts of things that are only done with, there's no other pshias, and he's that would be a great afkamina. Because conceptually, how to find an afkamina is when you can find this, in other words, an afkamina is basically mean, is it still an X correct or still a Y correct? Can you find a case where you isolate X without Y or Y without X? Can you discover a case that has only gamma without pshias anisek? And that's exactly what we try to do over here. The other possible approach would be, if let's say I am the other nafkamina, it would be the reverse nafkamina. I don't know the case just yet, but if somehow you can construct the following case where I am onus, but not onus gamma. In other words, the onus ke'en aveda, but not onus ke'en gedeva. I did something moderately irresponsible, but you yourself were even more irresponsible. The nizak was tremendously poshaya. Let's just say I'm driving my car, you know, and you leave your computer on my roof. And I make a quick turn and the computer comes flying off. According to Tosfos, you might say that's onus, not onus gamma. You'd be shy of. While according to the Ramban, you would say, if you left your computer on a car roof when I'm about to drive, that's pshias anizak. Therefore, I can imagine an afkamina going the other way as well. And again, the goal is to find the case where Tosfos would say chai while the Ramban would say pater, or the Ramban would say chai while Tosfos would say pater, where it's onus gamma, but there is no pshias anizak, the kiva case, or the car case where there is onus, but there is also even a greater pshias anizak. In any event, not just to clarify the difference, what we did was we found, we saw Astira, we found conceptually a quantitative versus qualitative chiluk, we saw the Rishonim, or I told you about the Rishonim, who suggest these two chilukim, and now the question is what's behind this machlokas? What's behind the machlokas between Tosfos versus the Ramban? Conceptually, I think you have to ask, is Tosfos' chiluk correct or incorrect? It is the Ramban's chiluk correct or incorrect, and it could be really there are two different machlokes over here. One, whether Tosfos is right or wrong. One, whether the Ramban is right or wrong. And very often that is the case. However, additionally, sometimes, and you'll see in this case as well, sometimes the same reason why the Ramban would reject Tosfos would explain his own chiluk, and sometimes when Tosfos, the reason why Tosfos would reject the Ramban would explain his own chiluk as well. I think that happens to be the case, which is more kishmak. But conceptually, the two different chilukim, you should ask, is Tosfos right or wrong? Machlok is Tosfos and Ramban. Is the Ramban right or wrong? Machlok is the Ramban and Tosfos. This is to show you a conceptual breakdown. I think it's worthwhile to recognize that. But that other circuit is a workout as nice as it will here. So we'll listen to the that I ended this kind of formal question. Okay. Questions, comments, thoughts? No. If you wanted to analyze this machlok, what you did? What sheet makes more sense at first glance? That's always a great question because you want to understand them both. So start with what makes more sense to you right away. You cannot figure out, you know, why the other guy disagrees. Which chiluk makes a lot of sense to you at first glance, let's just say. What? The Ramban. What? That's not helpful. Okay, what do you want to say? What do you want to say?
When they first gave
me, I came up with Ramban. Well, I'm glad that you're a machado, so you have to articulate why it makes sense, because we're just to say you like it, it's extremely helpful. I mean, I'm glad that you like the Ramban, you know, it's great.
English is my
problem. Do you have anyone to say?
There are a lot of people who
can't share that, those are okay, fine. We'll work with that. We'll start with that. In the meantime, I'm not sure how much more you added, but I'll do that. In the meantime, another question is, what is the major reason that comes up by the Ramban? What is the major assumption that, this is the important part, what is the major assumption that the Ramban sheet is predicated upon that Tosfos disagrees with? What about the Ramban and Tosfos? Like, it makes a lot of sense. If it's my fault, great. If it's your fault, your problem. That makes a lot of sense. What does Tosfos like about the Ramban sheet? You know what I'm saying? Does not like. Tosfos disagrees with the Ramban. What does it
look like? Doesn't like that there's no more clarification between how much you're involved.
Yeah, according to the Ramban, there's no such thing as onus gamma. According to the Ramban, we don't care about onus gamma. Now let's ask the following question. Why should we or should we not care about onus gamma? Tosfos make a good point. Onus gamma what is onus gomer all about? Why should I, this is like the, have a conceptual development of thought goes, why should onus gomer be potter and well? And why not? No, what makes more sense about that? According to Tosfos, onus gomer is potter, according to Rabban, it's not. What makes more sense there, at first glance? Should onus gomer be potter or chai? It should be potter, it should be potter. Why should onus gomer be potter?
There's no way not to. How can you be
obligated? You're right, you're right. Correct? Correct. I'll even sharpen a little more. Because onus gomer, I am not responsible for the damage. I was not negligent. I did nothing wrong. I was not hoshayah and I left. There's no chisaron hashmira over here. I didn't do anything wrong. Okay. That's great for Tosfos. According to the Ramban, why would you ignore onus gomer? Well, say differently, what is the mechayev for Adam Hamad? Why does he pay? According to Tosfos, why do you pay if you're Adam Hamad? Because it's a chisaron v'shmira. It's a shia. You were negligent, you were irresponsible, you allowed yourself to what? Do damage. However, when is the case where you absolutely were not poshaya? You did nothing irresponsible. What case would that be? Onus gomer. In other words, if you believe onus gomer is a patur, it has everything to do with what? How much negligent you were. How negligent you were. According to the Ramban, what is Adam Hamad's mechayev? What's the mechayev for what? Exactly. The answer is you are the Baal HaNezek. The Nezek relates to you. And you are considered responsible for that Nezek. And by the way, if that's the case, when are you no longer the Baal HaNezek? When? When the Mashiach said that. When the Nezek now is, it's his own fault. When his responsibility kind of overtakes your responsibility. If you did the damage, you are considered the Baal HaNezek, and therefore you pay attention to the Baal HaNezek. Consider like you are responsible for it. Not so much that you were irresponsible and you're guarding your object or guarding yourself, but rather it's like an automatic thing. This is much more subjective, this is much more objective. According to Kosh, it's all about whether or not you did a good job watching yourself or not. According to the Rabbah, we don't care how good of a job you did of watching it. Onus gomer is chayiv, because we don't care about that. What do we care about? We care about, are you the Baal HaNezek? And the answer is, you are, unless someone else is the bigger Baal HaNezek. In this case, it would be that big. It'd be Srilli, who came along and stuck the vase right next to me. It's the Baal HaChavis who left his, you know, his barrel, his chavis, his kad, his jug, right in the middle of the Rosh HaRabim. Irresponsibly, he's actually more responsible for the Nezek because he left it in Shosharab, he left it in Ha'feila, he left it around the Karen Zaz. And this, by the way, is a fundamental question. It's one of the most important questions about Adam Hamad. And the truth is about Nezikin in general, what's the Torah Mechayiv for on Nezikin? Are you Chayiv for being negligent in terms of your automatic responsibility? Yeah, questions, and I want to share with you the sheet of the Rashba in a second. The answer is someone good, in other words, the answer is whether I have to work on the Mithos or but the answer is who's considered the Baal HaNezek. You have to figure out that. That is the principle. The way halacha works is, you know, The Gemara sets up the principles, the Rishonim, whatever it is. Now the question is, the poskim have to apply those principles. It's almost like what happened in American law, where the Supreme Court and the lawmakers, you know, set up the rules. Now the question is how to apply those rules to our particular case. So same thing, what are the examples where there is or isn't a Baal HaNezek? I don't know, but the principle is the Baal HaNezek is Chayv. She just means that people come to Baal HaNezek. Okay. The Rajba has a little bit of a middle approach, and I'll show you what I mean by that. The Rajba says, at first glance, and the truth is it's not just the Rajba says this, not just the Rajba, but the Mukhi Yosef says this. This is probably the Pshat in the Rambam as well, but I'm not sure. But certainly the Rajba and the Mukhi Yosef, and they essentially, they distinguish what?
What are the first two?
Who?
Rajba
and the Mukhi Yosef. I said the Rajba twice. I thought
maybe a little bit misleading.
The Rajba and the Mukhi Yosef and many other Rishonim, they accept Tosfos' first chiluk about Onis versus Onis Gomor, but don't say the chiluk of Ke'en Kineva and Ke'en Aveda. They say Mamish Onis Gomor. And the truth is, Tosfos actually, the more you think about it, the more Tosfos makes sense. Before I get back to the Rajba and the Mukhi Yosef, Tosfos seems to say that Onus your chayv, for onus gum your pater from, and the truth is a very, very liberal definition of onus gum, where there are many, many cases of onus gum, and even if it's not so onus gum, or it's still onus gum, or it's kein geneva, it's kein geneva, it's onus gum, or I think the point is that certainly further supports the theory that it's all about whether or not you were hoshaya. That was because onus gum is so, there's because some of these cases fall to onus gum. Because onus gomer is not as extreme as you would have initially thought. It's only Ke'en Kineva, not just lightning coming down, but even, you know, moderately onus cases fall into the category of onus gomer. That certainly supports the theory. You suggest that according to Tosfos, you're chayav for your negligence, you're chayav for your chisaron b'shmira, you're chayav for your shia, and not because of anything else. If this is correct, so the Rajba, the Mukhi Yosef, now again, this is a little approach on the show. They believe, they accept the process of going to own as well as Gabor. However, they don't think it's Ke'en Kineva and Ke'en Aveda. They think Ke'en Kineva and Ke'en Aveda are both examples of onus, where you'd be chayav, versus onus Gabor, where you'd be chayav. They think this is Ke'en Aveda, Ke'en Kineva, maybe even more. This would have to be mamish onus Gabor. That's their suggestion. And therefore, I guess, in terms of the conceptual structure, I think the Ramban is one extreme, Tosfos is the other, while the Rajba and the Mukhi Yosef seem to fall in the middle. Because, according to the Ramban, your chayav, onus, shia, doesn't make a difference. According to the Rajba, your chayav, onus, mamash, onus, gomor. According to Tosfos, the ownership of its own gomer, that's even Ke'en Kineva. In other words, what level of severity gives you a gomer? According to Tosfos, a moderate level. According to the Rajba, it's a serious level. According to the Ramban, never. In terms of conceptual structure. I'd like to suggest that there are two svaras that could work for the Rajba. Number one is that one may argue, essentially, the Rajba is like Tosfos. However, not as extreme. There's a chil, essentially, the chil, he agrees to the svara of Shia. However, it's not after they cast that Ke'en Geneva, your pater, but rather the Torah has a heightened level of shmira placed upon you. Shia, the machlokas is a quantitative machlokas in Tosfos and the Rajba. What do we look at as Shia? What do we look at as Onus, according to Tosfos? We have a more liberal definition of Onus Gomor. According to the Rajba, the Torah also posits you for Onus Gomor because you're not responsible for it. But instead, what level of responsibility? According to Tosfos, give you a lower level of responsibility. According to the Rajba, he doesn't give you a higher level of responsibility. That's one suggestion. Alternatively, one could suggest that it's really like the Ramban, that you are the Baal HaNezek. However, there is a special Gezeiras HaKasuv that teaches you that Onus Gomor you are Patron. And seemingly anyone who makes the chiluk of Onus versus Onus Gomor, but doesn't carry it over to the extreme that Tosfos does,
of Kain Amedeus, Kain Gizela, Kain Gineva rather, Lachar, that could be understood along the lines of Tosfos, just slightly differently, according to my book, it could be along the lines of Ramban. However, the Torah gave us a tour of Zerbaka. Now, the truth is, if you look at the Mukiyos, he actually has two fascinating lines. I don't know the Shad of Mukiyos, he says both. On one hand, he says the reason why it's not in the case of the Yushalmi, where it's really put down the Vaj later, is because it's Shia Haniza, indicating it's along the lines of, I'm sorry, it's because, no, it's in the back. I think that's one of the things that I said. I had to look at it again, I don't know exactly what it was, but he seemed to have line textual support going both ways, and I'm not sure if the Shad was the thing. The Rajba says something fascinating. The Rajba says, how do I know that your Pachit Mon is Gomor? He says, lo riba ha-Torah on is Gomor in the world of the Zikin. Which seems to indicate that this is the correct Shad in the Rajba. It seems to indicate that it's based upon a Gezeres HaKasa, that the Torah says it's a special Pachit, it's a special Gezeres HaKasa, it's a special din, that although really you're the Baal HaNezek, there's a special Gezeres HaKasa teaching me your Pachit. And therefore, I guess we have all three versions of Rishonim, and I'd like to share with you one more little insight, which is a proof that my textual view of the Rajba is correct. Again, the Rajba's Lashon, Baba Kama, right over here on Nafka Zion, I believe, is that you're the Baal HaNezek, however, you have a special Zerzak that captures you from Onus. I'd like to share with you a Shtekel Rajba. What time do I have here? 9 minutes. Perfect. Interesting machlokus in the world of Yoredaya. This is the back of the mission. The Rajba wrote a book on Yoredaya called the Torah Ha'avais. The Ra'ah wrote a commentary basically designed to disagree with everything the Rajba said, and he called it the Bedet Ha'avais. A little bit of a pun. Again, Bezek HaBayis, because Bezek HaBayis in the world of the Beis HaMikdash, it's like a Bedikah, it's checking the bias to make sure that the Rajba got things right. In any event, in it, there's a fascinating machlokas. It's about Yoredaya. And in it, the Rajba says, it's like that I want to do a shechita. Says the Rajba, if I want to do a shechita, I'm cutting an animal's neck, so that's called shechita. Let's say if I drop a knife, and somehow, magically, the knife falls out of my hand and does a perfect shechita. Doesn't crush a shechita. There's no, I don't know, a milk soda shechita cut both the cord down in its neck. It does everything it's supposed to do. It's totally legitimate. There's no shahiya. There's no, not a five soda, there's five major soda shechita. None of the five soda shechita exist, and it's a perfect shechita. Would that work? So says the Rashba, in such a case, the shechita would be a shechita shera. And the Ra'ah disagrees and says that the Shechita, the Rajba, however, brings Orion to his own Shechita. The Rajba, I'll prove to you on my head, how do I know? Says the Rajba, I'm sitting down, and on my lap is an Evet, and if I get up, and it's no fail ha'Evet ni Cheiko, it's when I stand up, the Evet falls off my lap, even without my knowledge. And it does damage. It lands on a glass pot on the floor. It does some damage. When I stand up, the rock falls off my lap and does damage. Says the Gemara on Chayik, says the Rajba, I have a riot, because it's Koach Hagafa. Just like when I stand up, the rock falls off my lap, it's my Koach, it's my rock and I, it's my Koach as well. And that's the Rajba's riot. The Ra'ah rejects the Rajba's riot. The Ra'ah says what? You can't compare Nezikin to Shechita. They're totally different worlds. And the truth is, the Ra'ah seems to make a fantastic point. How in the world can you say, just because you stand up and you're an Adam HaNazik, so therefore what? The Shechita is automatically a good Shechita? Maybe Shechita has a different halachic criteria. How can you defend the Rajba's rise? How does the Rajba know that his rise is correct? What sense does it make? Can you compare? Here's an important thing. You with me? That's a great question that the Ra'ah asked the Rajba. How do you compare it all? So methodologically, do you want to say that, Dave?
You could also say that whatever the Zohar is, that's the
But who told you that's the same for Nezikin and Shechita?
Well, I mean, whatever happened.
But who told you that they had the same halachic criteria? Maybe, in other words...
Yeah,
yeah. Could be, but could be not.
He wouldn't have a raya. Maybe it'd be cute if it works out, but it's not a raya. What's the raya?
Yeah, I don't think...
I mean, the
that's true, but who told you, the Ra'ad brings up a great point, who told you that just because it's considered that A, that it's taught by Gabbard by Nazir, and it's taught by Gabbard by Shemit, or more importantly, that the same taught by Gabbard, who said the same taught by Gabbard? Who said that definition just because it's taught by Gabbard by Nazir, it doesn't mean that Shemit has the same taught by Gabbard? Shemit, they have all sorts of halakhic requirements for the religious activity. It's ritual, you can't carry over. You know, I mean, it's easy to, if somehow someone compares, any time a Rishon ever compares two halakhic categories together, like the Rajbah does here, the Rajbah says the deacon is similar to Shechita, while the Ra'ah said that Nezikin is dissimilar to Shechita. Right, this is Shechita of the Rajbah, this is Shechita of the Ra'ah. Correct. The Machlokas either depends upon the nature of Shechita. Maybe the Machlokas, is there Tarka Gavra or not? If they both believe it's Tarka Gavra, the Rajbah has a Ra'ah. Maybe, does Shechita even need Koach HaGavra? Maybe one can make an argument like that. Alternatively, the Machlokas may depend upon the definition of Nezikin. That's the one that's obviously much more relevant for us. How so? According to the Rajbah, why are you chayav by Nezikin? So we wanted to suggest that, like the Ramban, that you're the Baal HaNezek. If that's the case, how do we know if whether or not standing up, a rock falls, something falls out of your hand, how do we attribute that to you? The answer is, if you believe that the Machayim for Nezikin, the Machayim for Adam HaMadik, more specifically, is you're the Baal HaNezek, you can argue you're the Shochet. However, according to the Ra'ah, they seem to have no connection at all. According to the Ra'ah, maybe the reason why you're Chayim for Nezikin has nothing to do with you being the Baal HaNezek, but rather because you were. Yeah, you were negligent. You were lacking two shirim, but at least I'm a shirim, you're posheya. If the reason why you're posheya, in other words, the Torah said it, it's not on the Torah, you should have known how to rock out of that. You're posheya. In other words, as long as you can't claim onus, as long as you're posheya, that's machayev, that has absolutely nothing to do with shechita. According to their other two different worlds. This very well may be the Rajbah Lashitasa, because again, we thought it was beautiful because there's a great deal the Rajbah had. But Chora, the Rajbah, is going to end up being similar to the Ramban, which again is good, because at the end of the day, the Rajbah and Ramban probably makes more sense. They always have to go together, but often they do. That fundamentally, conceptually, it's the same idea that you're the Baal HaNezek, you're Chayiv because you are a Nezek is attributed to you. However, there's a special example that comes with Jehovah Rise, and that definition is correct. It makes a tremendous amount of sense to carry it over to Shechita, at least more sense, while according to the Ra'ah, it's like apples and oranges completely, because Nezikin is all about onus versus Pshia, while Shechita is all about Koach HaGavra. L'chor, they have nothing to do with each other. And therefore, when she talks on the Rajbah, clarifies further that there are three different Shechitas. According to, I guess, four possibilities, three sheets that we found in Rishon. Tosfos is the most extreme. Tosfos makes two assumptions. A, that the Machayim is Shia, and B, Kein Kidei Ba'avadah. You can either disagree and say the Machayim is Shia, but it's not Kein Kidei Ba'avadah, like this in the Halakha over here. I didn't find any sentences just yet, although not one of them count. Or you could say, no, you totally misunderstood the Machayim, like the Ramban and Rashbah, even though there are nuances there. Similarly, the Ramban makes two assumptions on this extreme. That A, you're Chayim because of the Baal HaNezek, and B, there are no exceptions. One may argue fundamentally with the Ramban, like Tosfos does, and says,
No, you're not chayiv because of the Baal HaNezek, you're chayiv because of your, because you were negligent, because you're a poshaya, but you could argue in a much more technical realm, like we believe the Rashba does, which is, you are in a chinam, you're the Baal HaNezek, however, there's a special, there's a cause of teaching me that you are putter because of onus gamur. We'll stop here.